You may be seated for our scripture reading. It's found in the book of Exodus. It's the focus of Pastor Dan's message today.
Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant.
Thank you. And we welcome up Pastor Dan. Good morning, Pastor Dan.
For our message today, I want to do a demonstration here. Megan, I'm going to call on you. Can I help you here? Don't worry. I'm not going to embarrass you too much, Megan. All right? How many of you think that if I were to reach out and take hold of Megan's hand, that I could, by giving a tug, pull her and raise her to her feet? How many of you have confidence that I can do that? All right? Good show of confidence. All right? 1, 2, 3. All right. Yay. All right? Thank you, Megan. Now, how many believe that if I take several steps away and perhaps 6 feet from here, how many of you think that I can reach out and pull Megan to her feet? Well, I've got one person, two, got a couple. Well, let's make it a little more difficult. What if I were to step back this far? How many of you think that I could reach out and pull Megan to her feet? Well, I got a few takers here, which is interesting. Shall we give it a try? You ready? All right. These are not the droids you're looking for. No. Ready? Ready to see the impossible?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on a second. And not just 6 feet. Ready, Megan? You're holding on, aren't you? Hey? Thank you, Megan. Now, the reason I provide that demonstration is to set the stage for the truth that we want to take home with us today from God's Word. Because you see, there are times in our lives that we are faced with difficulties and struggles. We're kind of down in what we're going through. And there are moments in our lives where we feel as if God is just right there next to us. And whatever it is we're facing, just like I did with Megan, able to just reach out, take hold of our hand, and pull us out of whatever we're going through. But then there are other times in our life when it seems that God is not right there next to us. And he's more than just 6 feet or 12 feet or however long this rope is. It's like God is nowhere to be found, and we begin to wonder, where is God in the midst of what I'm going through right now? And in those moments, we begin to behave and think and act and talk like, you remember Winnie the Pooh's friend Eeyore? All right? Oh, woe is me. Look at what I'm going through. Where's God in the midst of all of this?
Even if he is there, who am I? Just simple old me. Why would God even care about me? Oh, bother.
And we begin looking at our circumstances like there's no way out in the midst of what we're going through. Well, I want to show you. If I was able to demonstrate to you what for a moment looked to be impossible, how's he going to do that? You and I certainly can trust in the God of all creation to deal with some of the circumstances and the challenges that we're faced with in our lives as well. And that's where we find ourselves as we continue in our journey through the story, where we have, if you have not picked up your copy of the book yet, we have a copy for each family. I believe some are out in the Welcome Center still. But as we continue to go through the story, God's story becoming our story, this is a truth that we want to be able to take home with us today. Because what we're learning today is the fact that, backing up a little bit by way of catching up here, God had made a promise to Abraham, and that promise comes down to Jacob. Jacob decides, you remember, to move his family, numbering 70 individuals, down to Egypt to be with his son, Joseph. And what began as a group of 70 individuals, after a period of 200 years in Egypt, Jacob's family of 70 had grown to a nation of roughly 1 million people in 200 years period of time. Now let's connect a few dots here as far as this overall story is concerned. We back up to the promise that God had made to Abraham. You will remember where God said, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the heaven and as the sand on the seashore. Oh, my friends, what we see happening here leading up to our text is God already well along the way of fulfilling that promise of taking his descendants of Abraham and beginning with the family of Jacob and multiplying them from a family of 70 to over 1 million people. However, as God's people continue to prosper there in Egypt, the pharaohs and the people of Egypt began to feel intimidated by the sheer number of the children of Israel, to where they feared that if they got a mind about them, they could go to war against us and perhaps, given their sheer number, could even defeat us. And so rather than take that risk, the Pharaoh of the time and the people of Egypt enslaved the children of Israel. And what was initially seen there in Egypt as being just a wonderful blessing at the hand of Almighty God all of a sudden seemed to be like a curse. Because for the next 200 years, it looked as if God was not there for them. And if he was there, he certainly didn't care because of what they were going through. But as we've already seen thus far in the story, just at just the right time, God is there to take care of his people, to restore them and to redeem them. And what was true for the children of Israel is the lesson that God would have you and I take with us this day. So as we look at the culminating event in chapter 4 of the story, which is really drawn from the book of Exodus in God's Word, you and I have the opportunity to be reminded anew today of the power and the deliverance of Almighty God. So this gives us three encouragements that we want to take with us today. Our first encouragement is this: to trust in the Lord's presence. Now, to set the stage, as we've already heard in the scripture lesson read, we find the children of Israel out on the edge of Egypt, up against what scripture refers to as the Sea of Reeds, or what you and I tend to refer to as the Red Sea. And God has already heard the cry of his people there in bondage, there in slavery in Egypt. And he has already raised up Moses from a little baby drawn from the river Nile, raised in the house of Pharaoh, who has now become the redeemer or the deliverer of the children of Israel. God has already demonstrated his mighty power through 10 plagues. And God has already done the seemingly impossible by delivering his people from bondage in Egypt. And God has already now set them on their way back to the promised land. What an awesome story we see unfolding here. But now the children of Israel find themselves again in a heap of trouble. In front of them is this huge body of water. And to their back is Pharaoh and his army in hot pursuit. Although the ruler of Egypt had set the children of Israel free following the killing of the firstborn son, including the son of Pharaoh in the final plague, yet he is now having regrets. And why wouldn't he? All of his free labor is gone. And his grieving for his own son's death has now been replaced by anger and vengeance. And Pharaoh is determined to bring the children of Israel back to bondage in Egypt. But again, here is where, in a moment when all looked hopeless and lost and like there was no way out, God makes his presence not only known, but felt. And we find this, first of all, in Exodus 14, 19, where we read, "Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them." I want to draw your attention, first of all, to that phrase, "the angel of God," because this is a significant reference in Old Testament history. This is no ordinary or common everyday angel. Traditional Christian interpretation, a repeated phrase in the Old Testament, is either "the angel of God" or "the angel of the Lord." And traditional Christian interpretation has understood that reference to be a reference of God himself making himself known to his people. And in fact, because that angel is a messenger, traditionally we understand that to be the second person of the Trinity. In other words, this angel of God is the same one who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush and identified himself as the great I am. This is the Word of whom John in his gospel account spoke of, who brought all things into existence in creation. This is the one who later became known as Jesus, known to you and me, but in his, the big church term, in his pre-incarnate state. This is typical. When God manifested himself to his people with a message directly from God, Scripture oftentimes uses that phrase referring to the angel of God or the angel of the Lord, which is what we have here. Not only that, but as God's people left Egypt from the very beginning, they also had the Lord with them in a very visible way. In Exodus 13, we read, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night." Notice, not only through the angel of the Lord, but also in the cloud and in the pillar of fire, God is with them as they travel. Now, perhaps you've seen some of those biblical maps that try to chart out the course that the children of Israel took through the wilderness, and oftentimes it's depicted by dashes or dots moving along on their way to the promised land. I especially like some of those that all of a sudden get out into the wilderness, and they just go, because we don't know exactly the path that the children of Israel took on their way to the promised land, but we do know this: every step of the way, God was with them in their journey. And this is a truth that you and I need to take hold of and always remember, especially when we go through those fearful moments in our lives. Because when you think about it, our lives are also like one of those maps with a bunch of dots on it or a bunch of dashes. From the very first moment that God called us to be his in the precious waters of our baptism, God was there in that beginning dot of our life. And then in all the other dots of our map, the dots of our childhood, our confirmation, our teenage years, our college days, our married life, middle age, old age, all these dots begin to connect in a journey of God having traveled with us. And God has also been there for us in those difficult moments. I mean, take the dots of our days when we were sick or had a whole lot of troubles, and God was there in that moment. Locate the dots when we were afraid of what would happen to us or what would come tomorrow, and the Lord was there. marked the spot when we were struggling with what appeared to be an insurmountable or an impossible situation, and God was there. And then go to the very last dot on our map when one day we will have to face the enemy of death itself. And Scripture tells us that even in that dot, God is there to deliver us to the promised land. Yeah, we find it difficult sometimes to see it in all those dots right now. But one day we will be able to look back and notice just how obvious it truly is that God has been there with us every step of the way. We may not have the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire, but we do have God's promise. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. And this leads us to our second encouragement. Trust in the Lord's protection. Because that is what Israel had to do, especially on that day next to the Red Sea, when it seemed like there was nowhere to go, no way out. Because in that moment, the Lord made a way through his mighty hand. Exodus 14, we continue to read, "Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And all that night, the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites passed through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left." Now, my guess is most of us have either seen in movie or in artistic representations that wonderful moment, but not one of them can even come close to depicting what this greatest of Old Testament miracles must have looked like. I mean, imagine in your mind's eye, if you can, over a million people with their livestock and their possessions in tow, walking through the bottom of the sea all in one night. It is estimated that the space necessary for a group of a million people to pass through this in one night had to have at least been a half mile wide to accomplish it all in one night. Certainly the Lord provided a wonderful way in their life. But not only that, we also read how the pillar of fire also, or the pillar of cloud, also moved from in front of them and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. And throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the Egyptians on one side, but light to the Israelites on the other side. Because of that, the Egyptians were not able to see their way clear to find the children of Israel, but the children of Israel were able to see their way clear, not only to what they were doing, but the path that led them to safety and deliverance. It's told that during World War II, the King of England ordered the evacuation of young children from some of the bombed-out areas in London. And so a father and a mother found themselves taking their young son and even younger daughter and putting them aboard a train and said goodbye. Well, as the train pulled away from the station, the little girl began to cry as she snuggled close to her older brother, and she said, "I'm scared because I don't know where we're going." Big brother, he wiped away a few tears from his eyes as well as he put his arm around his little sister and said, "I don't know where we're going either, but the king knows, and that's all that matters." Well, is that not a depiction of the situation in which we find ourselves into? We do not always know where the dots on our life's map are leading, but the king knows, and that's all that matters. And that's what gives us reason to trust his protection, but also leads us to our third encouragement, to trust in the Lord's power. As God provided a way for the children of Israel, so he will provide a way for us. But also, too, considering the fact that as soon as day began to break, all of a sudden, the Israelites had another issue on their hand because the Egyptians were still back there looking to pursue them. And that's what we read in Exodus 14. The Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. And during the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. I love this next verse. I find humor in this next verse. "He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving." Yeah, it would be difficult to drive like that. "And the Egyptians said, 'Let's get away from these Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt.'" And if you're familiar with the story, you know how then in that moment, how the waters returned to their place, thus obliterating the army of Egypt. My friends, take comfort in this and know that even in moments in our lives when things seem to be at their worst, we have God who is there fighting for us. And the greatest assurance you and I have of that is what took place on the cross of Calvary. Because there Jesus himself put himself in the very middle, not only on that hill of Calvary, but put himself in the very middle of our greatest enemies of sin, death, and the devil. And there on the cross of Calvary, God fought for us. And what appeared in that moment where Satan took the Son of God down, we know that 3 days later, Jesus himself showed his awesome power in rising from the dead and thereby defeating our greatest enemies. And if God was there for us on the cross of Calvary, you and I can be absolutely certain that no matter what we face in our lives, he will be there for us in those moments too. I love the way Micah sums it up when he writes, speaking of God, you will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the sea. And that is exactly what Jesus has done for us through his cross and through his grave. My friends, there's a wonderful verse in Psalms that I encourage you to take with you today, perhaps even learn it by heart, where it says, the angel of the Lord, remember who that is, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. And so, yeah, you and I are going to have those moments in our lives when it seems like God is right there next to us, and then there are going to be those times where we're not sure because he seems far away. But one thing we can be assured of, what appears in the moment to be impossible is just God setting the stage to deliver us once again through the power of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is when God's story becomes our story. Amen? Amen.